This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, What the Puckers. What's going on? Welcome to What the Puck, where we're actually going to talk about real NHL hockey. It's an actual game, a few games that, you know, some of us might actually want to forget, a little bit down the road. But anyway, here we go. Skyping in with me, of course, Coach Dan Hayden. What's going on, man?
I so wish I could be doing better regarding the Capitals. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing okay. I'm a little worried about the Capitals right now. But you know what? As the temperature dropped here in Maryland, D.C., the puck dropped as well. We're two games into this 48-game shortened season, and we've got two losses already with the Capitals. I don't know about you, but I checked out Twitter, I checked out Reddit, and I checked out a couple other sites, and there's a lot of unhappy fans out there placing blame on everybody. But the big thing I want to start off talking about with these two games, Braden Holtby, man, it seems like he's not making that tradition from AHL goalie to full-time NHLer very well. It seems like he's having a lot of trouble in goal, and I don't know if it's just rust or if it's nerves, but the first two games and Holtby starts both, and there's a lot of sloppy goals that we're getting through this guy.
I mean, I think there were a couple of goals that he maybe could have been. He could have been like, "Oh, you know, what are you doing? You can do better than that." But the first game, especially, it was two or three where he was screened, where no one was moving somebody out in front of the net. I mean, they're just letting people park right in front of Holtby. In regards to the game from yesterday, on Tuesday, there were guys, horrible defensive play. Carlson's getting just completely demolished down the wing by Evander Kane, who's embarrassing him. And then also not watching the other guy coming down. So Kane makes a nice pass across, and Blake Wheeler scores. I mean, right now the problem with them, at least for Holtby, is that he's not getting the help he needs. He can't do the whole thing by himself. And the defense is hanging him out to dry. And maybe there's one or two they could have done that would have been a little better in regards to what Holtby's performance, but I don't think they could have done much better. I still think they'd be 0-2 with the way they've been playing the entire team. If you put Neuwirth in net, I still think they lose those two games. I don't think he's going to make any better saves than Holtby's doing right now. So while he can certainly get a little bit better, he's certainly been doing it by himself for the most part.
Yeah, you know what? This really is, we all know it, it's a team sport, and it kind of worried me going out onto Twitter on the very first game after the first period, and I saw so many Pull Holtby signs and Pull Holtby tweets and stuff like that. I think the kid is very talented. We saw his talent, and I don't think it was just a fluke. We saw his talent in the offseason, or not the offseason, the postseason last year. But I don't, like you said, I don't think Nuvi could have done a better job. I believe going forward, I think the plan was always to have Nuvi start the third game in to give Holtby these first two. But I think what we're seeing, especially with the Capitals, is a collective amount of rust. I think everybody's got a lot of rust. There are a plenty of guys on this team that did not play over in Europe. Yeah, we did see Marcus Johansson in Europe, and Ovechkin and Backstrom and Matty P, just to name a few. Brooks Like was over there as well. So was a new guy, Volsky. But a lot of the guys stayed in D.C., and they just kind of practiced. And I think we're seeing a lot of that rust because the whole team looks very sluggish out there, and they don't look like they're in the condition of NHL hockey players. So I think the Capitals have a lot of woes, but just to start off the show right now, I think the biggest woe right now is rust. These guys are not playing to where they should be.
Well, I completely agree with you. I think they're conditioning. And even Oates came out and said it. He said their conditioning is not where it needs to be. And it certainly didn't help that, and this was pointed out by Adam Vingan and I think a couple other people on Twitter, that the only Caps defenseman that was playing during the lockout is Thomas Kondratic. And he didn't even start the season with the team. They just brought him up with this last game. And I actually liked what I saw from him, to go a little off topic. I actually liked what I saw from him. He was up there taking shots, joining the rush. I like what I saw from Kondratic. But anyways, back to the original point. I think we do certainly see a lot of rust. We do see that there is a huge conditioning problem, which I think is one of the reasons why Marcus Johansson only skated for 50 seconds in the third period. Because the thing Oates likes about him is that he's got this motor where he just keeps going and he can skate. He's a very fluid skater. He's a very good skater. He wasn't able to do it. I mean, if you saw Johansson last night, he was completely ineffective. Now, so was the rest of the first line, but he was completely ineffective on that line. And I kind of like what I saw with Volsky playing with Ovechkin and Backstrom. But, yeah, the biggest thing right now is I don't think they're in game shape, and they didn't have that preseason to get into game shape. So now, unfortunately, they're going to suffer throughout the first week or two of the NHL season. Now, it's also been pointed out, and I think they brought this up during the broadcast between, I think, the first game or as the second game, that during the previous lockout where they lost part of the season, but it was, what was it, 94-95,
right,
something like that. The Caps started out at like 3-10, and then they went on a crazy run, and they did really well, and they were able to make the playoffs. So I think fans need to calm down and realize that not only are they adapting to a brand new system for the players, where it needs to become muscle memory, where they know how to react. Right now, and Oates, I believe, said this too, that they're thinking too much, and some of the players came out and said they're thinking too much about what they need to do and not just doing it. And that's why they look a step behind. I think conditioning and learning the system are their two biggest problems right now. And once they do, I think things will turn around and start to get a lot better. It's going to take a little bit of time. We're going to have some of these gains. And you and I talked about it in the last two shows, I believe, where we knew that they were going to struggle out of the gate. I personally didn't think it was going to be this bad, where it was going to be just this ugly at the start, where their penalty kill, I mean, it looks horrendous. I mean, this is minor league levels of bad penalty killing, where they're just getting embarrassed. It's like every time you take a, you know, watching that game on Tuesday, every time they took a penalty, you're like, well, here's a goal. Like, you just knew something bad was going to happen. So it's going to take a little while, but eventually I think they're going to get better, and we're certainly going to see a good run once they understand the system and when they're in game shape.
Yeah, you know, coming back from this lockout, everybody, I think collectively, the NHL is seeing some very ugly games, seeing some very uneven games. And I just like you said, we were expecting this from the Capitals. I don't think any of us expected it to be this drastic. But besides the conditioning of the team as a whole, there's two other factors. And you already touched on one of them a little bit. We do have a brand new system. We have Coach Oates, a guy who has not been a head coach ever in the NHL. And he's bringing in his own assistant coach, Kalle Johansson, who has a little bit of history with the team, but not with these certain players. So there's a big thing coming in here. It's conditioning to the NHL level. It's also learning a new system with new coaches. I think that's a bigger factor than even the conditioning at this point, because we saw, I'm going to bring it up again, I brought it up last week, we saw how long it took to get to the Dale Hunter system. Dale Hunter came in right before Thanksgiving or right after Thanksgiving in the last season, and we really didn't see him gel with the guys until the postseason. It took a long time for them to get the Dale Hunter system, so it's going to take them a long time to get the Coach Oates system as well. And the third factor is something that I think a lot of people are overlooking. This is a shortened season, but if you're looking out there on the ice, we were talking about this before we went on air. You know, I had to go onto my iPad and check who was wearing what number, because there's so many new players out there. We do have, you know, we do have our namestays. Like, we do have Ovechkin and Backstrom and guys we know, but I'm like, who's playing this part? Whose number is this? I don't recognize this number. What are these guys doing here? But we have these new guys that we're kind of learning how they play, and they're learning how to play with the stars that we already have. So I think the three biggest things are conditioning, new coach, new system, and new guys to gel with. I think all of this is brand new for the Capitals. Unfortunately, it's all starting within a shortened season, so it's going to take less time for these guys to get used to each other.
Yeah, my biggest concern, I think we talked about this before, was that the lockout in the six-week training camp was going to create so many problems. I mean, you have conditioning, but the biggest thing is learning the system and having these new guys gel. To some extent, I mean, Volsky is really the only guy you can have replace the goal scoring you were getting from Semin, but Volsky's not as talented as Semin is, unfortunately, although he might be less of a pain than you know what. So, you know, I think you're going to get some scoring from him. I like what I've seen from Volsky so far, but they need to get more goal scoring all around. I mean, the first line itself needs to get going. Right now we're seeing the exact same things that we always see from Ovechkin and Backstrom. Backstrom gets the puck, he takes it down, passes to Ovechkin along the half wall, and Ovechkin takes a slap shot right into the goalie's pads. He's got to do something different. Or if they're going to make that play, they got to get closer together or even further apart so that the goalie is going side to side and not just middle to the side. They need to move the puck around better, and they need to find someone on that first line that's going to help them and constantly be moving their feet, because Johansson wasn't doing it. And Volsky was kind of working, but you know, it's going to take more time than just two games for them to develop that chemistry with another player. So the whole thing is going to take some time. I think all of the judging of how the Capitals are doing and how their season, or their shortened season, is going to go – should wait until maybe after the first week of February, and then we'll see where they're at. If they start learning this system and we start to see improvements, then we'll know that they have something there. But if we don't see anything going – anything good and they're still losing, then we're going to have a big problem on our hands.
Yeah, I think that we just got to kind of sit through all this stuff until these guys get it all figured out. But Ovechkin, I was tweeting about it during the game last night, and this is Ovechkin, and everyone has said this the last couple seasons with this guy. He's got the same moves. He's got to learn some new stuff, and that was something that Bruce Boudreau wasn't a big fan of with Ovechkin. The guy plays the same moves over and over again, and guess what? People have figured it out. They know what he's going to do. So he's really got to get moving, and he's got to do something different on that first line. But another guy who is making kind of headlines right now is Marcus Johansson. He got benched already by Coach Oates. This is his second time. Last season, early off in the season, he got scratched the first game because he didn't have a good training camp. And this is a guy who also played over in Europe during the lockout. He's a guy who shouldn't have that much rust because he's actually been playing games, given it wasn't the NHL level, but it was still games, not just training every day or every other day. What do you think Johansson's biggest thing right now is? Because he seems to be missing a spark, really, in his play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what the deal is with Johansson. I'm a little... I mean, yeah, he was playing over in Sweden, but he was playing, what was it, the second level down, so it's not quite as much energy as you normally have to put into an NHL game. So we certainly need to see a lot more from him, and his production certainly needs to be a lot better. But in regards to Ovechkin, I mean, there's a lot of talk as to what may have happened to him. The whole talk about him when he came into the league, aside from the fact that he was a fantastic hockey player, was how long is he going to last? How long could he pull off the way he plays, where he just goes balls to the wall? He hits everybody in sight. He'll go through you if he has to. There's talk about, was it after the Olympics where Russia had that pathetic effort, or was it after he got suspended for that push on Brian Campbell in the Chicago game back when I believe it was February, or maybe it was March, a couple of years ago, that his game sort of changed after that because, you know, people were wondering if he just, you know, he had to change enough that he couldn't play his style anymore, where he would just throw his body all over the place. Or is it that he can't do that with his body anymore because it got so beat up so quickly because of the style he played? I don't really know. But then again, you see a play like last night where I can't remember which defender it was against on the Jets, but he just like faked the bejesus out of somebody by putting the puck through the guy's legs and going around him. So he still has that skill, that puck control. You just don't see it as often. He sort of seems happy to just kind of not coast, but sort of like just drift into the zone, wait for Backstrom to set him up and take a slap shot. And while it worked before, it's not working as much now because teams know what they're going to do. So I don't know if it's just Ovechkin needs to get new moves, but they need to get him in new positions to be able to create new offensive opportunities. You know, maybe he needs to involve Backstrom and whoever his winger is going to be more, or maybe he needs to find new places to take shots from, or maybe, because in a sense, Ovechkin is basically a glorified power forward, where he's a big guy, he's going to go through you if he has to. Maybe park him in front of the net and use him to screen the goalie, or put him, you know, closer to the goal and have a Backstrom set him up there so he's closer to take a shot.
There's a lot of things. It all really depends on if Ovechkin wants to do it or if they'll ask him to do it. I mean, I think he seems like he's a team player, but when it comes to Ovechkin being Ovechkin, he's going to do what he wants to do. And the sad thing is, a lot of people know that, and they know how to call him on it. So I think that Ovechkin's really going to have to change his game up. I think that's going to be one of the keys, at least for the first line, and getting somebody that actually works well with them.
Well, from what I've seen, I don't mean to cut you off, but from what I've seen with Oates, at least in regards to going to that bogus Verizon Center fan appreciation practice thing, was that Oates spent a lot of time talking just to Ovechkin, and that they seem to be developing rapport. And I think Oates knows that he has to develop a good back and forth and a good rapport with Ovechkin if he's going to have a good season and create a good team that has a chance at winning a Stanley Cup, because Ovechkin is not only his captain, but he is his best player, and he needs the best out of him. So, and I, from what I understand, Ovechkin likes Oates and what he's seeing from him, and so we'll see how that goes. But I think they're going to develop something good, and I think over time Oates is going to help Ovechkin to sort of develop his game and to change it to where he needs to be, so that he can be back to that original guy who was, you know, putting up all those points.
Right, and let's move on a little bit here. The first two games, like we said, there's been a lot of new names out on the ice. Has there been a player that has really impressed you so far, even though it's just been two games? Is there anybody that's kind of new in wearing that red that impresses you?
Well, I like what I saw from Kondratik last night. I like that he, as a young guy, was completely comfortable jumping into the rush and getting involved and taking shots. I like what I saw from him. I like what I have seen from, well, Hendricks isn't new, but I always like what I see from that guy, especially last night. I mean, he scored a goal by going to the net. You know, his skate helped a little bit, but it wasn't entirely just a skate. And that's what we need to see more from the Caps in general. They got to crash the net more. I mean, it's just ugly. They keep taking all these shots from the outside. Crash the net. I like what I've seen from Joey Crabbe with his one game he's played so far. He has a lot of energy, but he's not really that big of a goal scorer, but I like what I've seen from him. Joel Ward, I like what I've seen from him so far. Not another new guy. That first game he got two goals. Actually, I made a joke before the first game, and I was saying, watch, Joel Ward's going to get a hat trick. And then he went and scored two goals, and I was like, whoa, guys, I was kidding. Like, I mean, you can score it if you want, but, like, dude, I was just joking. You don't have to actually listen to me. And then, the return of Tom Pody, I think he's looked okay, you know, for playing his first two NHL games in 2 years. He's looked all right. I could say that I like what I've seen from Hillen, but he got injured in the first game. He's got a shoulder injury, and there's no word on how long he'll be out.
That looked like a nasty fall on him. Yeah, I felt really bad for him.
I questioned as to whether that should have been a penalty or not. I know some fans were going either way. I asked Steve Wino of the Washington Times. I asked him on Twitter if he thought that was a penalty. He said he didn't think so. So I don't really know. I'd have to watch it again, but I think in the end I thought maybe it was just, you know, it was a good hit, and it was unfortunate the way he went down. But I got to tell you, if Hillen was a star player, that's probably a penalty. And LeCavalier ended up playing for the Capitals, that's probably a penalty or suspension. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've liked what I've seen from a couple of guys, but I just think the conditioning and adapting to the new system is just – it's been ugly.
Yeah, there was one guy who didn't go over to play in Europe, and he's one of my favorite players, and I've got a jersey with his name on the back. But Jay Beagle, I want to say, I didn't see a lot from him the very first game, but last night he really put the Jets on. He didn't call it quits up until, you know, the end of the third. He was skating his heart out, and he was trying to get to that puck, and he had some very close calls. He almost had one or two goals last night. So as always, that guy has a lot of heart, and I love the fact that he's a Capital. I expect, you know, his game to only get better throughout this season and throughout the entire future. I'm so happy he's a Capital, but I expect big things from him as long as he's on the right line. I would even argue maybe moving him up to play on the wing for the first line or the second line, because he needs more ice time, because the guy's got skills and he's got heart. He's not going to let you down. He's one of those hard workers, so I definitely want to see more of him out there on the ice. And I'm a little surprised of the fact that we're two games in and we have yet to see John Erskine or Eric Fehr on the ice. I know I'm in the minority here.
I knew
here.
You were going to bring that up.
I know. I'm in the minority here about John Erskine being out there with the Capitals. But listen, I don't like Hamrlik. I don't care, you know, if I don't think he's a good player. I don't think his heart's in it. I think he's an older guy who just is trying to, you know, make a couple bucks and skate while he can. But John Erskine's got to get out there on the defense. He's got to be a big guy moving stuff around. I understand hockey's changing and it's a fast man's game, but come on, you got to give this guy a shot. Look what he did against Boston when he got a chance to play. He's got to be out there for protection. He's got to make big hits, and he's the type of guy that will block shots. He'll go down and he'll risk his body to block a shot, and the Capitals have not done that the last two games. I say put him in the next game and have him play, because I think that he could actually make a big difference on the defense.
I can understand why they haven't played Erskine, especially against Winnipeg, which is a very fast team. And that, as much Erskine could arguably have the most heart on the Capitals, but he just doesn't have enough talent, and he's just too slow, I think, and that's why he hasn't been playing. Fehr, I'm a little more surprised, because I think he brings more offense to the team than a couple of guys that are out there. So I'm surprised that he hasn't gotten a jersey yet, but maybe they're just not comfortable enough with him yet regarding his knowledge of the system, although apparently no one knows the system just yet, to have him out there. But you know, I would question, you know, you said you could put Hamrlik up in the press box for Erskine. I mean, that's certainly an idea. But I think if anyone's going to get a jersey, unfortunately, on the defense before Erskine, they probably would put Schultz in since he played in the first game. But I don't know. I mean, Schultz is also another guy that's not very fast, and that's probably why he didn't play the other night against Winnipeg. But as you were mentioning Jay Beagle a moment before, I just want to go back to that real quick and give him some credit. I remember last night he had a really nice finesse move where he almost scored. That if he had pulled that off, I probably would have jumped out of my seat. I would have been so excited because that guy just loves to play hockey. Jay Beagle's a fantastic player for this team. And the third line center spot I think is perfect for him. Even when Light comes back, it's certainly going to make some interesting decisions as to where they're going to put him. Yeah, I think he's a fantastic player.
Yeah, you know, there's only room for improvement right now. And it is 48 game season. We have 46 left, so there's definitely room for improvement. And we'll see who comes back from injury, who gets scratched, and everything like that. And the next game that we have coming up, if you're listening to this, we're recording this Wednesday night. If you're listening to this on Thursday, the next game is Thursday night. And so we'll see what happens. And it's going to be Nuvi's first shot. I think Nuvi's got something to prove here. He's a guy who's been very opinionated on Twitter throughout this lockout, and he wants to get back to playing in the NHL, and here's his first shot. And it's had to have been killing him to be sitting on that bench the first two games. I know that he wants to play, so I'm very interested to see what Nuvi does. But again, if the conditioning of the defense is not helping him out, then we're going to see the same game like we saw from Holpe the first two games in the season.
Yeah, if the defense isn't going to help, it doesn't matter if we have Dominic Hasek or Patrick Waugh in net, this team is still going to struggle. The defense has to get significantly better very quickly if they want to have any shot at winning any of these games. Because tomorrow night, they're going up against a pretty good Montreal team with Alex Galchenyuk, who just scored his first NHL goal the other day. They need to wake up. They need to start playing. And, you know, I think they had an optional practice today, which a lot of guys were there. I think a couple – Ovechkin, Backstrom, a couple other guys had – Ribeiro, I believe, didn't play. But I think if the defense starts showing up, then they're certainly going to have a better game. But I still think we need to wait a week or two before we start making judgments as to where the season's going to go.
Yeah, there's still plenty of people that have something to prove, and it kind of leads me into our next conversation topic here. Just recently broken this past evening, RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com, they reported that Matty P talked to the media, and apparently he's very unhappy, and he's even saying, I want you to trade me if you're not going to treat me like one of your top six guys. So Matty P is a guy that we've seen go up and down from Hershey. He's never really had a big spot up until last year. He went over to play in Europe during the lockout, but it seems like GM and maybe even Coach Oates doesn't have that much faith in a guy. And if he's asking for a trade, I mean, they don't seem like they're real high on him anyway. They might actually give him that trade. I don't want to see him go. I think he's a good player when he's on. But it's kind of crazy that a guy who doesn't really have that much pull in the organization is asking for a trade and wants to move on.
I like Matty P, but this bothers me that he would go to the press and make a comment. Now, he went and he talked to the French language website La Presse, and he complained about the fact that he says, whoever the coach is, every year it's the same story, and the GM doesn't seem willing to change anything. Trade me if I am not part of your plans. If he has a problem, go to the coaching staff. Don't go to the press and complain. It makes you sound whiny like a little baby. Okay, right now this bothers me, and to be honest, I wouldn't mind if they traded Matthew Perreault. I'm not going to come out and go, well, this is stupid. This is a future, you know, top player for them. Yes, he could be a top six forward, probably a center on your second line. But with Johansson there and Forsberg coming over next year and then Kuznetsov the next year, I don't think there's going to be a spot for him. But he's not going to bring you anything great in a trade. Like, if you just trade Matty P, you're not going to get a lot in return. Maybe you package him with the Jeff Schultz or someone else. You could package him with like a Hamrelick closer to the deadline as sort of like a rental for another team, so that you can go and actually get something decent, maybe add a couple draft picks to get a decent return. The thing that also bugged me about what he said was that he said, I try to stay positive, but I do not want to endure it for two more years. Then why did you sign a two-year contract, genius? If you don't want to deal with this, you've been dealing with all this time, why'd you sign a two-year deal? You know, it's not like you didn't see this coming. Did anyone – I mean, unless McPhee came out and promised him, hey, we're going to play you on second line minutes the entire season, which, by the way, he's a general manager. He doesn't make the roster. So, no, this is – if Matty P is going to complain, fine, trade him. I don't want to deal with whiny players. That's sort of been my problem with Neuwirth, where he's come out and he's whined about what he wants and what he's not getting. It's like, look, man, play the game And if you play well enough and they're not going to play you, odds are you're going to be traded to somebody else, okay? We saw it happen with Varlamov, not the whining aspect, but that they had this plethora of goalies and they needed to move someone out and they moved out Varlamov. If Neuwirth plays well enough and the Caps don't like him, he's going to get to go play somewhere else and probably be a starter there. So play the game, stop whining, and eventually you'll have your shot.
You know, this is kind of interesting. I want to talk to you a little bit about this, but because of this lockout that we just had and so many people going over to Europe, it seems like a lot of guys got comfortable over there. I mean, look what happened with the Islanders, where one of their players didn't want to leave the KHL and asked if he could stay there. Just he did not want to come play for the Islanders. He was so unhappy there. This might be
the Islanders.
Well, of course, it's the Islanders. it's like apples and oranges comparing the Capitals to the Islanders. But still, look at Matty P. He was playing over in Europe. I believe RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com even said in their story that he was getting, you know, 20, 25 minutes a game that he was playing. And to have him play, you know, 2 minutes in the third, that's got to be a big change for him. And I'm sure kind of getting this big head, being, you know, a big fish in a small pond over there, he was like this big-time NHLer, and he was all happy, and now he comes back, and he's back in the, he's back to being a small fish in a very big pond, so he's not as special as he once was. I'm wondering...
Yeah, we don't hear the same thing from Joey Crabbe. I mean, he was a big fish in a small pond playing up in Alaska in the ECHL during the lockout, and he's not coming back and complaining about the fact that he didn't even play in the first game, and that he played, you know, fourth line minutes in the second game. So if Matty P's going to come out and complain, trade him. Get rid of him. You don't need this kind of bad chemistry in the locker room with guys. You know, he's just sitting there and just sort of sitting in front of his stall, just upset about the fact that he's not getting enough playing time.
Yeah, it's nasty. And I don't know about you, but I think due to this lockout and people going over to Europe and seeing how it's done over there, the kind of money they make, I think that we may see more players take the option of going to play over there and not playing in the NHL. And Matty P, he may be using this as leverage in his own mind, thinking that that's what it is. But maybe he does go over to Europe and plays over there, makes a little bit more money, and it becomes a big star in a smaller league. Who knows? But I think that we kind of, that's what we have right now. I think we have a few guys, Matty P being one of them, probably, going to the press and saying, I want things to change, and if not, I'll leave. And I think he's probably thinking in his head, I was a big deal over in Europe. Why am I not a big deal here?
Well, he's got a 2-year contract with the Capitals, which, you know, essentially with the NHL. So I don't think he'd be allowed to play anywhere else unless they agreed to sort of loan him out to the other team like the Caps did years ago with Michael Nylander. So he's going to have to go somewhere. I think if he comes out and complains enough, they're going to end up trading him. The problem would be that if he is consistently coming out and complaining, it may hurt his trade value, so the Caps will get less in return. But I wouldn't be surprised if they, especially when Brooks Light comes back, if he ends up being the guy that sits up in the press box, if they end up moving him out by the deadline.
It'll be very interesting to see. We still got a little bit of time to see what happens. Maybe Matty P will come out in the next few days and be like, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean it.
My bad.
Bad translation. That's what it is. Not anything you got to worry about. But anyway, yeah. Any other Caps news going on in the first two games here?
No, I mean, this Leick's got an injured groin. They've been keeping him out, being very sort of careful what's going on with him. But word is that he might be skating in the next couple of days, so that's good to see. We may see the return of Brooks Leick relatively soon. And Kondratik, the new Caps defenseman, he was named to the AHL All-Star team, although he probably won't be playing. I believe it's next week. He probably won't be playing because he'll be playing with Capitals.
Well, that's good for him. I mean, what would you rather be playing, in the NHL or the All-Star game? I mean,
You never know. Well, he's been replaced on the AHL All-Star team by Bears forward Jeff Taft, so odds are he won't be playing because he'll probably be still in the NHL.
Well, you know what? Good for him. Hopefully he logs a lot of minutes and really impresses these guys, and we'll see what happens here. So we do have a few injuries early on, but nothing besides Leick, really. You know, he's a guy you'd like to see on the ice as quickly as possible, but it is best to let him get back on pace and not rush anything. And he's a guy who, he's just like Jay Beagle. He wants to be on that ice, and he'll do anything to get back on the ice. So at least they're taking their time with him until he gets fully healed. We don't want to see him, you know, go back after one game or something like that. So that's good. Any other Caps news we got to talk about, or can we go and head up 83?
I mean, the only other thing that's been kind of bugging me is sort of the Capitals organization and the front office. And sort of the way they've been treating the fans lately. Maybe this is just me, but I went to the fan appreciation practice thing last Thursday, and while it was very cool to be able to go to Verizon, get in for free, you get the free food, you even get 20% off the merchandise, yes, that was very nice.
Did you buy anything?
I did not buy anything. I'm not giving Ted Leonsis any of my money. the thing that bugged me was that, and yes, this is sort of trivial or silly. Other teams have been giving 50% off merchandise. Other teams have been doing more. And the thing that really bugged me, and maybe it's because the lockout sort of ended and they only had a week before games started that they didn't have enough time, but a friend of mine went to the game last night, the home opener, and her sort of giveaway that first night was a magnet schedule. That was their big giveaway, and that just bothered me. Now, yes, the fans don't necessarily deserve, technically, they don't deserve to get anything for free. However, I remember giveaways used to be so much bigger. I mean, they gave away like hats and scarves. And
I remember every fan getting a Southeast Division champion banner just a few years ago.
I have one of those somewhere in my house. I don't remember where I put it, but yeah, I have one of those. I think I have another one too from like an Ovechkin banner that is somewhere around here. I got not a practice jersey, but it was like a generic black jersey with the old logo. Not the old logo, but the sticks and the stars one.
Right.
I have one of those that was a giveaway. I mean, they used to, and it seems like now it's been more and more, it's about the money for Leonsis and how much he and Monumental and the Caps organization have to spend on these things for the fans. And it seems like they've been getting less and less. I mean, during the last lockout, all the fans the first night got was like mini Stanley Cups. Now there's plastic and not the biggest thing in the world, but at least there was like an effort there. Now it seems like, you know, the Caps don't necessarily care that the game is back and that, you know, they don't care that the fans are coming back. I remember I read on a message board that someone called asking if they could get their season tickets moved from one seat to another, and that the response was basically, "You're lucky that we have hockey. No, you don't get to move." Like, that was the basic response. I don't understand how their fan relations is that bad. You know, yes, the team right now is not playing well, but that was expected. But your relationship to the fans should be much better than this, especially since Leonsis was much better at that than he was before. Right. And the practice thing just really bothered me. It was like it was a normal practice, and then there was like a 5 to 10 minute Q&A where Elliot from Elliot in the Morning on DC 101, he went and asked the players a couple of questions. Now, yes, that did bring us the great moment of Troy Brower dancing to Gangnam Style, which was just freaking hilarious. But aside from that, it was kind of lame. Why not set it up so that you have some employees in the stands with microphones so that fans can ask players these questions ahead of time? You know, why not set it up so there's some interaction between the players and the fans, not us just sitting there doing basically the exact same thing we could do for cheaper at Kettler? You know, you can go to the practice facility and for free get to park, not have to pay $10 to ride the metro there and back, or probably even more to park at or around the Verizon Center. It bothered me. Other teams had scrimmages where they were playing, you know, half the team against the other half or something like that. I just thought the Caps relations right now with the fans is very poor.
You know, I haven't been to a game. I haven't been to Kettler since. I'm still a little bit sour. I don't know if I want to shell out as much money as they're asking for tickets because of everything. And Ted Leonsis did come out. He did do an interview, and he was like, "Oh, I wasn't one of the hardliners. No, I wanted them to come back." And he even said, "I've never made a dime from owning the Capitals. Never made a dime." I don't know how that is when you have Ovechkin on your team and he's one of the highest selling jerseys. How can you say you've never made a dime with the Capitals? How do you say that when you've had sellout crowds for about two seasons straight? You're selling every single seat and they're buying merch and they're buying food and everything from the Verizon Center and you've never made a dime?
Sorry, I'm going to cut you off, but from what I understand, before he owned the Wizards and Verizon Center, he used to have to pay rent, basically, to Abe Pollin and his I forget exactly what it was called, Washington Sports Entertainment, I believe, where he would pay them. I mean, he even used to have to pay every time they put the NHL banners up. Remember, they used to have the it was like every team had a little banner that would go up for games.
Right.
They stopped doing that because Leonsis had to pay for every game to put them up there and bring them down. So I can understand why he wasn't making money when he didn't own the building, because he was essentially paying rent. Now, you know, he may not make money off the Capitals, but he certainly is making money off the Wizards and owning Verizon, all the concerts and various things that are happening there, and the Mystics, probably not so much.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's making more money off the Capitals than he is the Mystics.
Well, that's certainly true. But he's making money in general off of the other his other endeavors through AOL and through everything else he's done in his past. So I don't think it necessarily – I'm hoping he didn't buy the Capitals and the Wizards and Verizon Center to make money. I want an owner that bought the team because he wants them to win. I want a Mark Cuban minus the craziness outside of the team, you know, and his crazy behavior. I want someone who owns the team that wants them to win, not someone who wants to make money.
You know, I think we want that too, but who knows what'll go on. No one tweeted about it or anything like that, but I really would like to have known if they showed Ted Leonsis on the screen or anything like that and what happened, but I didn't hear anything.
Actually, one thing I saw was that someone, I think, reported that they showed Leonsis, fan had a sign saying something negative about Leonsis, and they actually showed it on the big screen, and then, like, got away from it really quickly. So, I mean, certainly the fans are certainly not, at least some of the fans are not very happy with him.
Right. All right, well, you know what? Even though hashtag hockey is back and the NHL is making that the slogan, to us, hockey never left, and all we had to do was go up 83 and we can talk some Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, well, the Hershey Bears, they just came off a big game, at least for the organization, a sellout crowd up there on Sunday for the Outdoor Classic, and frigid temperatures didn't really come out the way they had wanted, with the Penguins picking up a win, but still a big time for Hershey, a big game for them, and from what I understand, except for the loss, everyone even was cold, but they were all having a good time. So what else is going on with the Hershey Bears right now?
Well, currently Hershey is they're still sitting in third in the East Division. I think it's pretty funny. They're the East Division of the Eastern Conference. How is that not confusing? Hershey is sitting third in the East Division with 43 points. They're 11 points behind the division-leading Binghamton Senators, with the minor league affiliate of the Ottawa Senators.
That makes sense.
I know. And since we last talked, they have gone 0-1-1, one of them being the overtime loss in the Outdoor Classic game. And they play again this Friday. They have a nice break from, I believe, Saturday until Thursday or Friday, where they play again. So there's a nice little gap in there before they play again.
Well, that's good for them. I've heard the Outdoor Classic was a lot of fun. Fireworks, all kinds of good stuff like that, even a good fan fest. So hopefully do it again. And I heard even Mike Green, he dropped the puck since he was one of the Hershey Bear alumni. I still think he was going to play in that alumni game until the lockout ended. I still think that was the original plan. But
they probably would have had him and maybe a couple other guys that would have come up to play. Maybe like Fleischman or someone would have showed up.
I still think that would have happened, but it was nice for him to drop the puck. And a lot of fans, I guess they're not used to seeing Mike Green up close up in Hershey, because they were all pretty shocked at his long hair and how he looks now. So
I think we're still shocked at how he looks now.
I think everybody is. Him and Carlson are the most dramatically changed during this lockout season. But all right, so that was the Hershey Bears. We're going to go over to the ECHL, another farm team for the Capitals. The Reading Royals, how are they doing? I mean, last time we checked and we talked last week, the guys were ahead by so many points. Are they still in the big lead there for the East?
Reading is currently first in the Atlantic Division with 60 points, 14 more than second place Elmira Jackals. They currently actually have the third best record in the ECHL, 4 points behind former Joey Krebs team, the Alaska Aces.
Oh, wow.
They're doing really well. Since we last talked, since we last talked section, they were, I believe they went 0-3. Since we last talked, now they've gone 2-1 with wins for goalies Brandon Anderson, another goalies prospect, and Drew McIntyre. So it looks like Reading may have turned it around. Maybe the loss of Grabauer is not affecting them quite as much as we may have suggested last week.
Well, that's good. And if you're on Twitter and you're following Sergei Kostenko, the Reading Royals goalie from Russia, young 20-year-old, the guy recently got some ink and he showed that off on Twitter earlier today, getting Familia tattooed on his bicep.
He's a goof.
He's a goof.
I think he's a. I wouldn't mind having a goalie down here that's a goof. Yeah, he just seems like the dude's kind of a goofball.
He kind of just does what he wants to do. So, I mean, tweeting that out, at least he knows how to use Twitter. So that's pretty fun for
there you go.
For fans like us. All right, so that was Reading Royals and Hershey Bears. So let's come on back down to D.C. Let's talk a little bit more NHL. A lot going on in the league so far. What's it been like having the NHL back in your life since Saturday?
Well, it's been nice because Center Ice has been free all week, so I've been able to check out a couple of other games. But there's a bunch of NHL news going around, a couple of things coming out today in the last couple of days. In former Caps news, we have Keith Acoin, Chris Bourque, and Cody Eakin all made their respective rosters. Acoin was actually on waivers from the Maple Leafs. It got picked up by the Islanders, so that's awesome. He gets to play in the NHL, but he's with the Islanders. Chris Bourque made the Boston Bruins roster, so he's playing for the team that his dad used to play for, so that's pretty cool for him. I know I think I saw something on Twitter from him that he was very excited to play. And Cody Eakin is currently playing on the second line of the Dallas Stars, although that's probably going to change once Jamie Benn decides to sign a contract. Other than that, those guys are all playing in the NHL, so that's pretty cool. I wonder what that sort of means about the Capitals, who got rid of all three players, and then they're currently playing in the NHL. There's some interesting news coming out of the Islanders as well with Nino Niederreiter. One of their top prospects, he actually came out this week and asked to be traded. He said he was upset that he didn't get an invite to training camp and that he isn't playing with the Islanders and he wants out. Now, if the Capitals are going to make a trade with Matty P and add a couple other – they have to add more to it, obviously. But Niederreiter is certainly a guy that I wouldn't mind seeing them pick up. And then it's coming out tonight in out of Canada, I believe, with TSN's Bob McKenzie. He's speculating that PK Subban, the Canadian star defenseman, star young defenseman, may be traded since contract talks have not been going well between Subban and the Montreal Canadiens. Flyers forward, I should say, Braden Schenn has been suspended for one game after his hit on Devils defenseman Anton Volchenkov from, I believe, last night.
Leave your feet, man. Can't do that. That was a nasty hit.
But I did hear he left his feet.
Yeah. It looked like he was at a rock concert, pogoing up and down, man. He left his feet and he got some air.
He's a dummy then. Because he's been around long enough now, he can't do that. He won't play tomorrow versus the Rangers. Congrats to Nail Yakupov and Alex Galchenyuk, who both scored their first NHL goals this week, especially Yakupov, because he's on my fantasy team. Last week we talked about Wade Redden and Scott Gomez, how they both were put on waivers, both cleared waivers and signed. Redden signed with the Blues. He signed a one-year deal, I believe, about $800,000, so that's a really good deal for the Blues. And Gomez, I believe today he signed with the San Jose Sharks, a one-year deal at $700,000. So I think those are great deals if both these guys work out. And I believe both have been put onto the active roster. I believe the Sharks put Brent Burns on the IR, probably something to do with his facial hair. And St. Louis put somebody on IR and brought Redden in. They sent the guy down. And there's been word recently, I believe yesterday and today, that Roberto Luongo may be traded. And there were some rumors going around that the Caps were interested.
What?
I don't think that's reality. I don't think it's going to happen. If they're going to go out and pick up someone like a Luongo, anyone that's going to pick up Luongo is probably going to end up sending a goalie the other way. If the Caps are going to trade one of their goalies, I'd rather it be for a top six forward or at least a prospect that could potentially be a top six forward. If they trade away one of their goalies or bring in Roberto Luongo, I'm not really sure what they're doing.
The Capitals like the young goaltenders. They always have. And we saw what happened when we brought a veteran into the Caps organization. He really didn't work out that well. It was a one-year deal. Vokun's got some skills, but I think the Capitals, for some reason, they do dig young goaltenders.
Well, after Kolzig, he's unceremoniously sort of left and then retired, they've been looking for that next guy that could lead them for, 10 years. And they've been they had a bunch of young goalies. They had Varlamov, and then they thought maybe he was the guy, but he was sort of made of glass, so they decided maybe to move on to Neuwirth, and they weren't really sure. And the Volkun thing sort of fell into their lap, where he actually, I believe the story is that his agent came to George McPhee and was like, hey, what do you think about this? And he was like, sure, why not? And, because Volkun was a very talented goalie. He still is a talented goalie that just kind of got stuck in a sort of a weird system and just didn't play well for the Capitals. So we'll see how that goes with the young guys they got. But Luongo's not coming to D.C. If they trade for Luongo, I'm just going to be really angry with George McPhee because I have no idea what he's thinking. Unless he's going to turn him around and deal him for a better return, in which case I wouldn't mind so much. But either way. And then as bad as we've been talking about the Capitals, as bad as we might feel, you got to think about how the Detroit Red Wings fans feel, because they've been losing players just dropping like flies. They've lost defensemen Carlo Koliakovo, Ian White, and Jonathan Erickson, although he's believed to be day-to-day. They also lost their backup goalie Jonas Gustafsson and forward Todd Bertuzzi. They thought Bertuzzi had mono, but I don't know if that's necessarily the case. So the Red Wings players dropping like flies. I believe they're 0-3 to start the season.
For passing on Mike Knuble now.
Well, you never know. I mean, I certainly think they need that veteran leadership after Lidstrom retired and Holmstrom retired. Zetterberg was named the captain, but I don't know if that's necessarily worked out too well at the beginning, although I question how – maybe they're having the same problem the Caps are having where players aren't – their conditioning isn't where it needs to be and they just aren't where they need to be just yet. We don't really know. The Avs' Steve Downey will undergo season-ending surgery after tearing his ACL. Ooh. So it's true that bad things happen to bad people. And the Edmonton City Council has approved – the new arena deal, and they hope to have a brand new arena for the Edmonton Oilers ready by 2016. That is all of the NHL news that I have found.
Well, you know what? That was plenty, man. It's good to have a show with actual like NHL news and game talk and everything. I felt pretty good about that.
So, it's certainly a lot more fun than talking about money in the lockout.
Right. Hopefully this time next week we've got some wins under our belt and that the Capitals are actually, you know, shaking some of that rust off and look like a new Dodge Dart, not like an old Ford Taurus like they have been kind of like the last two games. So if you're a big fan of the Capitals and you want to connect with us, easiest way to do that is right there on Twitter. Follow me at Brando Cash. And of course, Coach Dan's on Twitter. I talked him into joining over a year ago, and he is absolutely in love with Twitter. Where can
Let's not go crazy.
Where can people follow you on Twitter?
Let's not just make up things that aren't true. I am on Twitter at WTPCoachDan, and you can always follow the show at facebook.com/WTPPodcast. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
Of course, if you like the Brando Cash Network and you like What the Puck, go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Bet you couldn't figure that one out on your own. And like us over there. You'll find out all the news you want about What the Puck and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. Even The Call, where we talk about Ravens football, and they're going to the Super Bowl. So, of course, we're going to do plenty of shows about that coming up in the next few weeks. So go like us over there. If you're listening to us, you know, I don't know how you're doing it. There's so many options right now. If you are listening to us on something besides iTunes and you'd like to hear some past shows, go over to iTunes, click subscribe, and you'll get all the past shows and all the new shows whenever they get downloaded, whenever we upload them, and you can download them automatically straight into your iTunes or on the podcast app on your iPhone. If you're an Android user, guess what? We are finally on Stitcher Smart Radio. Pretty awesome news. I was so psyched when I got that email. Stitcher Smart Radio is easy. You download the Stitcher app onto your phone, look up What the Puck, and you can make your own radio station with our show being one of the main features. It's really cool. So go like us and go listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, or on Podbean, which is where we kind of house our shows right now. Biggest thing you can do to help us out, help us grow the show, tell people about us, man. Go over to Twitter, tell people you're listening to What the Puck. Go to Facebook, let people know there. Take a picture of your screen as you're listening to us and post it up on Instagram. Go on to Tumblr, on Pinterest, on everything out there. Tout it if you want to. Tell everybody about What the Puck and that you're happy. Hashtag hockey is back. We're happy that hockey never left and that we're still able to talk about it and not what's going on in a courtroom. So that's the great thing about the internet and about this podcast and why we love to do it. So help us out so we can keep doing it. And thank you for listening so far to What the Puck. Next week we'll talk about all the games that we missed coming up. And we'll be reviewing them. And I'm hoping we got some more goals and not a goalie controversy or any new injuries or anything. I don't want to talk about those. All right, well, that's it for What the Puck this week. Coach Dan, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, I'll talk to you next week, man.